When troubles come and my heart burdened be, then I am still and wait here in the silence until you come and sit a while with me. You raise me up so I can stand on mountains. You raise me up to walk on stormy seas. I am strong when I am on your shoulders.
You are listening to Free Radio Santa Cruz, and tonight is Tuesday, and it's time again for another episode, episode 37 of Health and the Awakening of the Self. We did interrupt the last program, Lydia's program on, I think it's Tivoli, the concert. We'll be coming back to that as soon as this show is at its end. My name is Dr. Mike. I'm a medical doctor and a naturopath and a teacher of meditation for a good number of years. And the program we have tonight involves health, giving out information to help you preserve and restore your health, and also to awaken the real part of yourself, which is called the self, spelled with a capital S. And we do so you can call into this program at any time. We don't mind you interrupting whatever's going on. The number is 831 831-427-3772. Again, that's 831-427-3772. If you want to grab a pencil, I'll read that out one more time in a minute. Also, we have an email called frsc at freakradio.org. Freak Radio is one word, freakradio .org. And if you have a master, if you have a spiritual master and you'd like to hear him on this program, well, just get in touch with me and we'll see about putting him on. The number again to call in is 831-427-3772. We do have a slogan for this program. It's called, May Your Mind Fall Into Your Heart. May your mind be absorbed in your heart. May your mind be absorbed in the state of divine beingness. And may your mind be absorbed in the state of wakeful alert, wakeful presence. Again, just to remind you, you're not going to change your consciousness by just by reading a book or by listening to a radio show. But if you do apply the techniques that we give out here for the awakening of the self, and also if you listen to meditation experiences that we do over the guided meditation, these will help enormously in your transcending your present consciousness to a greater expansion of your real self. All right, we'll move along now into the first talk, and that was, we interrupted a talk on last night's program because it was a little bit on the long side, so we're going to go back and pick that up right now. And it's by Eckhart Tolle.
It's a very radical reversal of the normal way to live. Take your attention whenever you think you can't stand your problems anymore and it's getting too much, and you wake up in the morning and say, oh, not another day. No human is meant to live like that, waking up in the morning and saying, I can't face another day. And no, in nature that doesn't happen. The flower too, when the sun rises, the flower opens up because it responds to the sun. And no flower has ever said, I can't face another day. No animal has ever said, I can't face another day, except perhaps animals that are suffering deeply because of what humans have done to them. But no animal in the wild would. An animal wakes up, and a plant, a flower wakes up, and immediately is in a state of aliveness. And you can see it. Jesus talked about it when he often would say, look at the flowers. And when he said, look at the flowers, he meant it. He wants you to really look and see the incredible beauty and aliveness. And if you look deeply enough, you will see that they are actually celebrating life. And this is how life is meant to be. Humans are meant to celebrate life too in a completely different way. They also are an expression of the divine consciousness. Now we impose our worldview also on nature. So whatever worldview you have gets projected. So humans these days say the whole of nature is a struggle for survival, because that's their own life, that's their own mind. If you were free of that mindset that says everything is a struggle for survival, you would actually see that most of the time nature is celebrating life, and the moments of struggle are very short. It's animals mostly live in a state of ease. When they get hungry, they might kill. That's a very brief moment compared to the most of their existence. So to carry this burden of problems, which is the mind, which gets heavier as people grow older, often the burden increases. Past gets heavier and heavier inside. You carry a heavier and heavier burden of past. But even young people carry a heavy burden of future. And gradually, you can no longer feel life. You can no longer feel the aliveness that is in the very depths of your being because of the mental noise. It covers up an incredible deep sense of vitality and aliveness that is life itself, but it's covered up by mental noise. Jesus talked about it. He said, I want you to have life and more abundant life. I want you to have more abundant life. He didn't mean more abundant consumer goods. He didn't mean more shopping malls. He was not talking about the things in life. He was talking about life itself, the aliveness of life itself. And if the only place where you can be in touch with that is through the stillness underneath the mental noise, the vibrantly alive stillness presence underneath the mental noise. There you get, because the stillness is also a feeling of intense aliveness. That's the place where you are connected with something much vaster than the little me. When you touch that incredible sense of aliveness, and the only place in time where you can do that is now, when you touch that, a vastness of life is there. And as you have access to that more and more, that begins to be in your life, not just as a glimpse, but for longer periods. You dwell in the state of connectedness, as I sometimes call it, connectedness with being, where life feels good. It feels good to be alive. This is the most simple terms I could, even a child would understand that. It feels good to be alive. But in that goodness that is life itself, out of the goodness that is life itself, things emerge. Out of the vibrantly alive stillness that is in your very being, things emerge out of that. Thoughts may come suddenly out of it, but they will be creative, new thoughts, not the old gramophone records that you've been thinking about for 10 or 20 years. Insights, realizations come out of that, because that's the source of all creativity. So you're touching life itself, not the manifested life as manifested as a thought or as a thing, as a planet, a galaxy, or a blade of grass. Life before it becomes something in its original form, rather no form, the formless life that you are, that is your essence. To be connected with that is to become free of the world, of attachment to the things of the world, of grasping and clinging and needing And there's an incredible sense of, you suddenly know how precious you are as that life. No matter whether on the external level you are an important person or a non-important person, that's the world telling you you are important or the world telling you you haven't made it, that has nothing to do with finding that place within yourself where you become free of that and you no longer believe what the world is telling you. Because after all, the world is insane. And if you believe it, you believe what an insane world is telling you. If you doubt that the world is insane, pick up a history book. Or switch on the news. It may not be 100% insane, but let's say 90%. So you're allowing an insane world to tell you either that you are important and believe that, and a few years later the same world will tell you that you're no longer important. You've lost your position and somebody else is chairman of the board now. And you thought that was your identity. And you might even have to return your American Express Platinum card. And that is painful. If your sense of identity was in that, something that is funny, really, to that person would be very painful. My God, I'm nobody again. And I thought I was somebody. How can I survive without the platinum card? And then somebody else believes it when they tell him, you are no good because you haven't made it in the world. Oh, I failed. Life has treated me unfairly. I've missed out on life. I never had a chance, or I had a chance, but I didn't use it. The world telling you, the insane world now telling you, you are not important or you are nobody. Look who is regarded as important in the world. Actors, singers, whatever, politicians. And most of them are miserably unhappy with a facade of happiness. And those are the idols of the world. So your sense of self is no longer derived from that, and that's a wonderful liberation. You don't, what the world is telling you becomes completely irrelevant because your aliveness has such depth to it. You know that nobody could take that away from you. And you need nobody's confirmation that your life is incredibly valuable. And self-esteem, you no longer need to tell you that you are good enough when you're in touch with the very goodness of life itself. Until that, it may be helpful to have little affirmations telling you that you are good enough. Then you move beyond when you're in touch with the very goodness of life in yourself, then you no longer need mental concepts of who you are. And this is what Jesus meant when he said, I have overcome the world. Not that he had any worldly power, so that is that depth of aliveness is here in you at this moment. that you need to be open to that.
Okay, we'll leave it off at this point, and we'll complete that at the next show, which will be next Monday of next week, from 6 to 8 to our show. All right, well, we're going to move over now to some music, and we have Celine Dion lined up here. The song is I'm Your Angel. I'm not sure if I've heard this song before. Hopefully it's good. All right, so I'll just queuing it up for you. It should be going now in a second.
Shoulder when you cry, I hear your voice.
Okay, that was Celine Dion. She was singing there with somebody else that I don't have the name of. So anyway, it's a pretty nice song. And now we're going to go over to the medical side of the program for some nutritional information. And most of this comes from Dr. Michael Gerber. And he is very well up to date in all the nutritional literature. He reads every magazine that the world produces on the subject. So we'll go ahead now with that. But the first part, these are last only a minute or two, kind of convergence of experience. So he's going to summarize, I take it, some information.
Editorial in the American Journal of Cardiology last year that I think really sums up where we are, describing a growing convergence of scientific evidence that an optimal diet is mostly plant-based. Make sure it has nuts, soy, and fiber, and you can drop your bad cholesterol as much as taking drugs every day for the rest of your life, but without the cost and without the side effects. Save the country $20 billion. Of course, most patients aren't even given the plant-based option because of the patronizing belief among doctors that no one will actually do it. But in reality, most people don't want to take the drugs. I mean, people hate the side effects, they don't make you feel any better, and it's scary popping pills every day so you don't keel over and die. People don't even want to think about it. However, when people actually improve their diets, you actually feel so much better so quickly that it reframes the reason for making these changes from fear of dying, which is usually not sustainable, to joy of living, which often is. And the diet doesn't just help your cholesterol. Unlike the drugs, a plant-based diet can also prevent and treat diabetes, hypertension, obesity, prostate cancer, breast cancer, etc. Pills can't do all that. And instead of being on a list of medications, one drug for this one or two drugs for that, there's not one diet for heart disease, another one for diabetes. A plant-based diet covers all the bases. Why? Because plant-based foods contain more than 100,000 different disease-preventing nutrients. Let me say that again, 100,000 phytonutrients only found in plants. You know, blueberries have the anthocyanins for memory, tomatoes are rich in the red pigment lycopene, which targets heart disease and cancer, ginger, you got gingerols for hypertension, pomegranates have totally different phytonutrients, and let's never forget kale. The list goes on and on. And you can't just take these phytonutrients in a pill. Beta-carotene pills may actually increase cancer risk, as opposed to the whole carrot, which may lower our risk. And we probably couldn't swallow 100,000 pills a day anyway. Then he talks about about his work stopping and reversing the progression of even severe coronary artery disease, slowing, stopping, or reversing cancer. Living and eating healthy actually changes you on a genetic level, upregulating disease-preventing genes and downregulating genes that promote breast cancer, prostate cancer, inflammation, and oxidative stress. Drugs can't do that. The bottom line: people tend to think of breakthroughs in medicine as new drugs, lasers, high-tech surgery, but they have a hard time believing that simple choices can be as powerful as drugs and surgery, but they often are, sometimes even better. And I will leave you on that note.
Okay, the next one is going to be about chocolate.
A report from a major international science conference on chocolate finally revealed why we human beings crave chocolate so much. Their scientific technical finding: we conclude that we like chocolate because it tastes so nice. Medically, last year a randomized, controlled crossover study from Yale examining acute dark chocolate ingestion. People got paid for that, too. The researchers found that the sugar in chocolate isn't good for you. The fat in chocolate, the cocoa butter, isn't good for you. But the actual cacao bean solids, which is sold as cocoa powder, is great stuff, leading the Journal of the American Heart Association this year to conclude that cocoa itself can be recommended without hesitation. Ah, but which is healthier, cocoa or the Dutch processed cocoa? Some of you may need to go back to the basics. We have cocoa and we have processed cocoa. And when you process food, you lose nutrients.
Oh, we have another clip on chocolate.
Chocolate. Beauty or the beast, or both? Although cocoa itself is frequently found in foods like chocolate, which can contain high levels of fat and sugar, the cocoa powder itself may have beneficial effects in a number of chronic disease conditions, including heart disease. Flow-mediated dilation, measured in the main artery of the arm, which is about the same caliber as our coronary arteries, is considered one of the best measures of arterial function, a predictor of cardiovascular mortality. A little bit of cocoa doesn't do anything, but a little more, or a lot more, gives one a significant boost in arterial function within hours of consumption. How much does it take? Not much, just a teaspoon of a natural cocoa powder, which would be like a tablespoon or more of Dutch cocoa. Now, it makes you a little suspicious that the author works in Hershey, Pennsylvania, at the Hershey Medical Center, and indeed has accepted money from our largest chocolate manufacturer, Center for Health and Nutrition, conveniently located near the intersection of chocolate and cocoa avenues. Putting together all the best available science, though dozens of randomized controlled trials, arterial function was significantly improved within hours and after weeks and months of chronic cocoa consumption. It's always difficult to tease out a fact from fiction when such powerful financial interests are involved. Many of these studies were funded by industry as well, and as in all areas of research, evidence suggests that industry funding is associated with pro-industry conclusions. But even after removing those studies funded by industry, they found the same protective effect. The reason they measure arterial function in the arm, rather than where you really need it, the coronary arteries of the heart, is that that would require an angiogram, which is a little more invasive. But if you were able to find people already scheduled for an angiogram anyway, here we go. Double-blind, randomized trial finds that dark chocolate actually opens up coronary arteries themselves. And when they did what's called a cold presser test, where they plunge your hand into a bucket of ice water, which normally causes your arteries to constrict, but after dark chocolate, they dilated. Dark chocolate may also improve blood flow to the heart of our kidneys. Because chocolate also contains fat and sugar, though, we have to be careful. Furthermore, most chocolate products are manufactured with milk, a compound known to influence antioxidant capacity in our blood. Even if milk chocolate had the same flavonoid phytonutrient content as dark chocolate, the antioxidant effect of cocoa is potentially weakened in the blood when milk is consumed. So not only are there triple the antioxidants in dark compared to milk chocolate, but the milk actively works against the effects in the human body. So eat dark chocolate and get a nice spike in the antioxidant power of our bloodstream within an hour. Milk chocolate, nothing. And if you eat that same dark chocolate with a cup of milk, the benefit is suppressed. The addition of milk, even in either in our stomach or in the chocolate itself, inhibits the within-body antioxidant activity of chocolate and the absorption into the bloodstream of one of the target phytonutrients. Sugar isn't good for us either. Sugar impairs arterial function. One bottle of soda's worth of sugar can temporarily cripple artery function. That's why sugar-free cocoa improves arterial function better than the same amount of cocoa with sugar added. So eliminating sugar appears to amplify the beneficial effects of cocoa. Bottom line, Although the positive effects of chocolate and cocoa products seem apparent, precautions exist when we're talking about the calories, fat, and sugar in chocolate. Cocoa powder then offers the best of both worlds. Although not as tasty, cocoa-based products with little or no sugar or fat are certainly preferred. And you can make them tasty, as I note in my healthy chocolate milkshake recipe and my healthy chocolate ice cream video.
Okay, we'll just have one more short one, and then we'll leave the go back to the other side of the show.
Interest continues to grow about targeting cancer stem cells with a dietary component of broccoli, and especially broccoli sprouts. Cancer stem cells are thought responsible for initiating and maintaining cancer, which I've talked about in the past. There's also been a number of randomized, double-blind, placebo-controlled clinical trials on the use of broccoli sprouts as a complementary treatment in diabetes to reduce oxidative stress, reduce inflammation, and reduce insulin resistance and fasting blood sugars. In my video, Biggest Nutrition Bang for Your Buck, I describe how to grow your own, simply and quickly, in 5 days. New science suggests, though, that it's even simpler and quicker than I described. If you look at other sprouts, their antioxidant phytonutrients appear to peak around sprouting day 5, up to tenfold higher than day 2. But the sulforaphane content in broccoli sprouts appears to peak at around 48 hours. So 2-day-old sprouts may be even better. For consumers who do not enjoy eating broccoli or broccoli sprouts, but still want the benefits of the broccoli phytonutrients, what about all the different broccoli supplements on the market? Here they tested BroccoMax, which boasts a half a pound of broccoli's worth in every capsule. They gave people 6 a day, compared to a cup of broccoli sprouts. Here's the spike in broccoli phytonutrients in the bloodstream of those eating sprouts, which would cost about 25 cents a day, compared to 6 capsules of the supplement, which would cost about $2. They conclude that the bioavailability of broccoli phytonutrients is dramatically lower when subjects consume broccoli supplements compared to the whole food.
Okay, that's broccoli sprouts, so don't forget those. We'll come back to that subject in the next program again, and we'll show you some further information in that area. Okay, all right, I think I've got I do have something lined up here by Celine Dion. And it's the name of that song is "The First Time Ever I Saw Your Face," which is a pretty nice song.
First time
Don't you just love these great singers around you? Don't they help to melt your heart? That was Celine Dion singing The First Time Ever I Saw Your Face. And now we're going to come on to Master Muji. He's going to talk to us in the next piece here. And this piece has an exercise, so I now ring the bell just to warn you to pay attention.
When you feel the intuition, the sense I am, and it's not linking with anything else. When it's not coming from history, when it's not somebody's daughter or someone's husband or someone's wife. When it hasn't any interest in future or past. When it's merely that beautiful intuition, the sense I am. When it feels like space. When it's not hunger for association, when it perceives with silence and joy, when it arises out of emptiness, when it has no name, when it has no birthday, no star sign, when it's not influenced by otherness, that beautiful intuition that you're now aware of, which stands by itself, dwells within itself, that is the godly principle in you, the earliest manifestation of the eternal principle in form. That feeling I am is the God self in you. When you're in a position to witness the sense I am, and that might feel like it comes and goes, when you're in a position to witness the sense I am, you are beyond all. No words can touch you. To that, words such as the unborn, the infinite, the eternal, are only indications of that state. I would call it a stateless state, that within which other states are perceived, but itself carries no label. What I'm speaking about is not that it's something which is away from you sequentially or spatially separate. It is your inmost being. And it's not hidden on the layers and layers and layers of stuff. These are all ideas. It's neither hidden or obvious, though we have to use these words. We because we are speaking with words. Yourself is just yourself. All of this is inside yourself. You don't need to feel that in any particular way. You can forget about this. There will come a time by itself when you may experience this spontaneously. For now, all that matters is stop associating with objects. Stop calling yourself, oh, I am the body, and this belongs to me, without investigating it. Learn to bring your attention, your sense of I, away from the forest of associations and attachments. Remain detached. This is the key back to who you are. There is no journey of, there's no distance to who you are. These are all ideas. You are, and that's it. Don't associate this I am-ness with any quality, and spontaneously and immediately it reveals itself to itself. I've tried to say as much as possible in this moment as a sort of a synopsis of all that you've heard over these weeks. Those who have come for the first time, it's still fine. Something in your being can assimilate it in its own way.
Dr. Ornish published an editorial in the American Journal of Cardiology.
Okay, we're coming close to the end of the show now, so I just want to remind you of a few bits of information. Number one is, if you want to follow any of these singers or spiritual masters for further information, you could go to YouTube and just punch in their name. Muji is spelled M-O-O-J-I, and Eckhart Tolle is E-C-K, Eckhart, H-A-R-T, T-O-L-L-E, two separate words, T-O-L-L-E. And, of course, the singers, you can go there, Ceylon, Celine Dion, and Joshua Brown. That's the first thing. Second thing is... I have archived about, getting on to 15 shows on... we have a little bit of a trouble with feedback here. I'm not sure why that is. But I have archived the last 15 shows or so on Radio for All. The 4 is the letter 4. So it's radioforall.net. You go there and then you punch in the name of the show on the search on the right-hand side. And that's health and the awakening of the self. And then a number of shows come up. They all come up there. And then you press whichever one you want to. They're there by number. And information will, a little window will open up. And then if you like that show, you press on it again the second time. And then once you do that, at the end of the page, there's a small little red arrow, and you press on that, and the show will open up for you. So you have about 15 shows there. And if you find you're serious, there's a deficit of information in your life about spirituality, it'll be good for you to go to a site on the internet called Buddha at the Gas Pump. And There we have about interviews about maybe 300 different spiritual teachers from around the world, and it's by somebody I know called Rick Archer, and he does a good job for that whole show. So I recommend you go there and spend some time there. All right, so we're basically time up on the show here. It was good to spend some time with you. We'll be back on the air next Monday for a 2 hour from 6 to 8. Let me see now. I have something lined up here by Josh Gubat. Oh yeah, it's coming up now. And that'll see us out on the show. And thank you very much. Good to be with you again. And joining the journey.
Like the sound of silence calling, I hear your voice, and suddenly I'm falling, lost in a dream. Like the echoes of our souls are meeting, you say those words, my heart stops beating. I wonder what it means. What could it be that comes over me? At times I can't move, at times I can hardly breathe. When you say you love me, the world goes still, so still inside. And when you say you love me, for a moment there's no one else alive. You're the one I've always thought of. I don't know how, but I feel sheltered in your love. You're where I belong. And when you're with me, if I close my eyes, there are times I swear I feel like I can fly. For a moment in time, somewhere do you know how I
are so inclined, please help us out. So before San Francisco,
on the radio, they really were visual to me, and it really helped me work. And so when I acquired my own synthesizers, it's kind of the same process for me. It's a visual thing.
Crystal,
I'd like to.